shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
What is the cost? Things are more expensive today than ever before, and they will be more expensive tomorrow than they are today. As time goes on, prices go up. Can you escape the fact that you're condemned to pay more just to maintain? Everything in life has a price tag, and that's an escalating one. Look back. It seems that things used to be a lot cheaper. In the 1950s, families had a comfortable lifestyle with only the husband working. Within a few decades, it took both husband and wife working to attain the same comforts. Now it takes husband, wife, and a new partner, increasing debt. Individuals, businesses, and governments owe more than ever before. This debt monster will eventually eat up all the things everyone is working so hard to have. Foreclosures, repossessions, and bankruptcies will become common experiences for individuals, businesses, and governments. The end result is that goods are confiscated and sold for a fraction of their value. A balance is still owed, and debt remains. The old saying, "I owe my soul to the company store," will be replaced by, "I owe my soul to the bankers, the money merchants, the robber barons." Those who owe for everything are simply debt slaves. The goal of getting causes the possessor to become the possessed. The never-ending quest to have more things is suicidal to the soul. Man is never satisfied with getting things. Getting only engenders more getting, and satisfaction is never achieved. Thus is born the popular song lyric, "I can't get no satisfaction." If getting stuff brings satisfaction, then why are those that have the most the least satisfied? They work even harder to get more, and self-destruct in the process. People come to America to get rich so that they can have a good lifestyle. This is called the American dream. But what was the American dream that brought our forefathers to this country? It was not to get rich. They had a longing in their soul to be free and understood from where such freedom came. America's founders came to this wilderness believing that they were on a divinely inspired mission. They were a people whose mind was fixed upon God, His Word, and a righteous life through faithful obedience to Jesus Christ. They knew if they were to be free, then they would have to claim the promises of the Holy Scriptures. "If you continue in my word, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." John 8:31-36. "Stand fast therefore in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free." Galatians 5:1. And "where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty." 2 Corinthians 3:17. They saw themselves as establishing a nation that would be built upon God's word and bring forth His kingdom government on earth. This Spirit brought life to their souls, and they prospered as their souls prospered. No sacrifice was too great and no cost too high in order to achieve so glorious a goal. They were a selfless people of character and were not a selfish people of greed. Today, a very different spirit dominates our nation. We are consumed by the desire of wealth, which is causing chaos, confusion, and conflict throughout all of our society. This new spirit of greedy getting is killing our souls. Where is satisfaction, happiness, joy, contentment, and peace? There is only misery, heartache, turmoil, and strife. What is the solution? If things are to change, then there has to be some questions asked and answers found. Vague notions create muddled, faulty thinking, which has brought us into this current hell on earth. Take a real look at what is going on. What drives us? What consumes our thoughts? What possesses us? What do we desire more than anything else? Christ's question in Matthew 16:26 can shed light on this matter. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Through continually pursuance of gain, the soul is lost. This greed brings us into the bondage of getting. The obsession of getting stuff is spoken of in Matthew 6:19-33. And what we should be doing is stated in verse 33. But seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Read these verses for yourself. What did you learn and what must be done? It is obvious to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. This must become the sole driving force in thoughts and actions and not the getting of stuff. When this happens, then all these things shall be added unto you. With our minds fixed upon his government and laws, we pursue his way of right living, and he gives us the stuff. Our mind and actions will go after materialism or him. The fact is that no two things can occupy the same space at the same time, and no two thoughts can occupy the same mind at the same time. We cannot be driven by two desires. Only one will dominate. Jesus says, "No man can serve two masters. For he will either hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Matthew 6:24. This is not something that can be switched back and forth. Notice what James 1:8 says. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. Then in 4:8, he goes on to say, "Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." Go back to Matthew 6. Look at what Jesus says in verse 22. "The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light." Jesus is not talking about having one eye like a cyclops. The Greek word translated eye in this verse is ophthalmos, from which we get our English word ophthalmology, and this is the science that pertains to vision and sight. The Greek word is even translated sight in the Bible. So Jesus said that if thy sight, vision, be single, then your whole body is full of light. No one sees anything without light, And what is seen in the light is influenced by the vision. What is the vision? Is it single or double? Even in the bright light of day, double vision is no better than blindness and will have dire consequences. Had you rather be on an airplane with a pilot that had single or double vision? Each year, billions of dollars are spent in the correction of people's vision. Notice what Jesus says in the very next verse. But if thine eye, vision, be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is that darkness? It is vision that determines if you are full of light or darkness. What is your vision? Are you full of light, or are you blindly staggering around in darkest confusion? In Matthew 15:14, Jesus says, if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. Can you imagine anything more certain to fail than blind people leading blind people? If you are going to blindly follow someone, then you are confessing that you are blind, and you had better make sure that who you are following is not blind either. Where you are gives a clear indication of your vision as well as your leader's vision. Confusion as to where you are and where you are headed is the telltale indicator of blindness. Groping around trying to grab hold of something in blind desperation has gotten our white race into the dilemma it is in today. Having no light because of double vision, white people are being led into the ditch by every element of our corrupted society. The clergy, politicians, and experts have brought us into this current chaotic situation, and blindly following what they espouse will drive us into poverty, bankruptcy, and slavery, causing the death of our spirit and soul. God ordained that our white race was to be free, and we cannot live in such servitude, but will shrivel up and die. If you are exhausted from running hard and getting further behind, then do what Jesus says. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Matthew 11:28-29. Save your soul by learning of him, and you will find rest for your soul, not slavish labor of the body. The challenge is, learn of me. He is meek and lowly in heart. No arrogance in him. He is not a self-made man. He is not a mover and shaker. He is not a player. He is in total submission to the Father. In Luke 22:42, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Also read Matthew 26:42. In Hebrews 10:7-9, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. 1 Samuel 13:14. In Acts 13:22, he had a burning, all-consuming desire, as stated in Psalms, I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. Psalms 40:8. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. Psalms 143:10. We too must have this same spirit and confession. Is our daily prayer, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:10 and Luke 11:2. There is a cost that is involved in what we do. Our forefathers paid a cost in building this nation, and we are paying a cost to live in what this nation has become. The cost in both instances is the same, even though what is purchased is very different. What do you desire? The answer to this question will determine what road you travel and what you ultimately receive, whether it is dead slavery or freedom. Pursuit of material things is the killer, whereas pursuit of God's government and His righteousness is the soul filler. Only His laws will bring prosperity materially and spiritually. Man's laws bring famine materially and spiritually. The last 200 plus years in the history of America prove this fact. The American dream has been corrupted and perverted by Satan and his flesh and blood race children, the Jews, who hate our God Yahweh, his son Yahshua, and his flesh and blood Adamic white Israel race Elohim. It is this white race that came to earth with only one purpose, and that was to establish God's kingdom on earth. To have dominion and rule with a rod of iron over the world was our divine mission. We were to establish God's law as the law for the whole world. Instead, we spent ourselves on riotous living. No wonder we're in the hog pen. And the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. Romans 8:22. This is a hellish condition that will continue to intensify until the manifestation of the sons of God. Romans 8:19. Until we, the Adamic white Israel race of people, begin to do what we were sent here to do, conditions will only get worse. The world does not know Yahweh God, John 17:25. The only true God in Jesus Christ, John 17:3. Because as Jesus is our mediator, so we are the world's mediator. This order is established by God, and it makes no difference who believes it or who is offended by it. At present, the world hates us because we're not of the world, even as Christ was not of the world. John 17:16. Christ was not sent to the world. Matthew 15:24. Nor does he pray for the world. John 17:9. He does not pray that we should be taken out of the world, but that God should keep us from the evil of it, John 17:15. He well knew who the God of this world was and how we would be attacked, 2 Corinthians 4:4. This attack would be from Satan and his children, the Jews, who are his ministers. They pretend to be the apostles of Christ, the ministers of righteousness. And their daddy pretends to be an angel of light. This is exactly what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11:13-15. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. From the halls of Parliament to the pulpits of the churches, this evil has been proclaimed as good. No wonder the whole world lieth in wickedness, 1 John 5:19. The prophet Isaiah gives the warning, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that putteth bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter, Isaiah 5:20. All their teachings are the very antithesis of what God commands. The church has become the greatest offender of all. There is not one ounce of truth in the tons of garbage dumped upon their blind followers. Today's Christianity is heresy. It is unscriptural and is anti-Christ. Their Jesus is not the Jesus of the Bible, and their ways are not his ways. They command obedience to their devilish denominational doctrine. And according to them, all that anyone has to do is accept Jesus. You are good to go by saying a few magic words, "I accept Jesus," and by obeying all their religious dogmatic doctrine. They will never teach obedience to the law of God because it is contrary to their churchism. Obey man's teaching or God's word. The answer to this will determine our individual, national, and racial future. If we obey man, as we have been doing, then the present cancer eats up the body, soul, and spirit. The only way out of this downward spiral is the answer given in Acts 5:29. We ought to obey God rather than man. This answer involves a cost. What is the cost? If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. We, as God's Adamic white Israel race, must humble ourselves, pray, seek his face, and turn from our wicked ways. When these four tasks are done, then God will hear, will forgive, and will heal our land. The first task is to humble ourselves. This is the doorway into a right relationship with our Father Yahweh. We must be able to make the same sincere declaration that Paul made in Romans 7:24. O wretched man that I am. Understand, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, Isaiah 64:6. And in Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. No ego, no pride of life, or arrogance can exist in a humble person. The second task is to pray. This too is beyond our fleshly nature, as Paul points out in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Prayer is the working of the Spirit. It is the Spirit that cries out, Father, Father, help, Romans 8:15. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, as stated in Romans 8:27. The third task is to seek God's face, to find someone in a crowd. We look for their face. We are known by our face. It identifies who we are. To seek God's face is the desire to be in his presence. Maybe this is too obvious, but if you are looking to someone's face, then you're standing in front of them. The face is the focus of attention. Not hiding from it, but looking eye to eye. Also knowing that God has a higher position than us, to look into God's face would be to look up and not down. Looking into someone's face is the first step in communicating with that person, face to face, will be a transforming experience which brings knowledge. 1 Corinthians 13:12. The fourth task is that we must turn from our wicked ways. Wickedness is sin, and sin is the transgression of the law. 1 John 3:4. We must stop violating God's laws and start doing as he commands. This necessitates learning his laws and what he commands us to do. And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. 1 John 3:22. We do not receive what we ask because we do not obey his commandments. We must make the same statement that Jesus made in Luke 22:42. Not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus demonstrated this as stated in Hebrews 5:8. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. Hebrews 12:2 records that Jesus, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. What was the cost for Jesus? And is it any different for us? The church's message is not based upon the Christ of the Bible. Imagine how big a following they would have if they said, "Be a Christian and suffer. Join us tonight and you will be arrested and whipped. Then in the morning you will be nailed to a cross. And after hours of agonizing suffering, you will die. Hallelujah." In their twisted minds, they believed that this was only for Jesus, and that their God of love would not require this of them. Their message is, accept Jesus, join our church, and God will give you wealth, health, and happiness. However, there is one thing you have to keep, their church-like commandments. Their motto is that old saying, if something bad happens, then you have not been paying the preacher enough. Evidently, they and their followers have never read and understood the book of Job. In the midst of all Job's agony, he declares, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Job 13:15. Did bad things happen to Job because he did something wrong? Quite the contrary. Notice what God asked Satan. And the Lord Yahweh said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright mind, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Job 1:8 and 2:3. Job was put to the test to prove that he would follow God no matter what the cost. There is a cost in faithfully following God. Read Hebrews 11:1-40 and see that faith is defined by cost. Living godly was demonstrated to its fullest extent by Jesus Christ. If we are the followers, disciples of Christ, then know this, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Matthew 10:24. What did he do? And what does he expect of his followers? And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Matthew 10:38. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Matthew 16:24. And when he had called the people unto him with his disciples also, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Mark 8:34. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. Mark 10:21. And he said to them all, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Luke 9:23. Jesus answers the cost again in Luke 14:26-35. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Least haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it began to mock him, saying, This man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king goeth to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. Salt is good, but if the salt have lost his savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land nor yet for the dunghill, but men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Does any of this sound like what is taught in the churches? All their followers would run for cover if they heard words like this. Take up and bear your cross. Deny yourself. Sell what you have. Give to the poor. Hate your father. Hate your mother. Hate your spouse. Hate your children. Hate your brothers. Hate your sister. And hate your own life. Christ says, if you don't do these things, then you are not worthy of me. You cannot be my disciple. And you are not fit for anything but to be cast out. These modern-day Christians do not want to hear such unpleasantness and will not stay in any church where such is even remotely referred to or insinuated. To them, this is too extreme and is fanatical. After all, the only necessary thing is to accept Jesus, and then they can go to heaven forever and escape God's hellfire. The world may go to hell, but they can peaceably go along, showing tolerance, accepting all manner of social evil, and then one day fly away from the mess that their cowardice created just because they said the magic words. Sorry, this will not happen according to 2 Thessalonians 2:11-12. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but hath pleasure in unrighteousness. These church hacks can attend the religious services with Bibles in hand, but they had better never open and study them to see what God says. These are the ones Paul speaks of in 2 Timothy 3:5. They have a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Those to whom God has opened his word will not be found in denominational churches. As a matter of fact, they are hated by these pious pretenders walking in lockstep with Satan and his children, the Christ-hating Jews. It is this unholy alliance of modernized Christians and their chosen people, the Jews, that attack and attempt to annihilate those who stand for the truth of God's word and his laws. This evil attacking of good is foretold in the scriptures. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Matthew 5:10. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Matthew 5:12. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. John 15:20. Persecuted but not forsaken, cast down but not destroyed. 2 Corinthians 4:9. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. 2 Timothy 3:12. According to the Bible, what is the answer to the question, what is the cost? For those who put God's word and laws first in their lives, it is being persecuted, hated, rejected, and even murdered. To them, the things of this world are of no importance, but the kingdom of God and his righteousness are everything. Look at the admonition of 1 John 2:15. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. This love of the Father is more highly esteemed than anything the world has to offer. It is the Father that has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has chosen us, and not we him. Yahweh, our God and Father, has saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. 2 Timothy 1:9. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, and peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. 1 Peter 2:9. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest ye be weary and faint in your minds. Hebrews 12:1-3. Christians that fill the churches today have sold out to the pie-in-the-sky lie. They have embraced this world order and have adopted the popular philosophy of the month. They cowardly tremble in fear with the other camp members. There is none that believes in a God which would expect them to leave the camp, go out single-handedly, and do battle with a Goliath giant. Their earthly mission is to get along in the world, to do whatever the clergy says, and maybe get someone to accept their Jesus and join their church. After such a life, they can escape earth and go to heaven, where they can play harps eat honeycomb, float down a milk river, and walk streets of gold. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. Colossians 2:8. Beguiled, bewitched, and bewildered, they blindly grope around in the darkness. They are totally devoid of all understanding and never realize that James 4:4 is addressed to them. You adulterers and adulteresses, know you not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. These supposed good Christians are the enemies of God. They're nothing more than cheap whores pretending to be virgins, all the while selling out to the things of the world and becoming its friends and lovers in the process. All of them will run up to Jesus and proclaim the wonderful works that they've done in his name. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Matthew 7:21-22. The condemnation is given in verse 23, which says, and then I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Two roads lay before us. The one on the left is for the friends of the world, the whores, the workers of iniquity, and the enemies of God. The one on the right is for those who the world hates, those who have not sold out, those who, like David, are single-handedly facing the Goliath giant. Those who stand for the law and government of God. Those who are the friends of God, like Abraham, faithfully doing all that God commands. The right road is the narrow way of the warrior. It leads to victory, but it's fraught with attacks, sufferings, self-denials, sacrifices, and dangers on every hand. In Ephesians 6:10-17, Paul encourages and instructs these warriors. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The warriors prepared for battle is described in Isaiah 59:17. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and an helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put upon the garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clothed with zeal as a cloak. In our preparation for battle, it is imperative to be empowered with the knowledge that we, the Adamic white chosen race Israel, are eternal and that we are the bleeding offspring of Yahweh God in the earth. He is our racial father. It was in the heavens when our names were written in the book of life from the foundation of the world, Revelation 17:8. We, as the racial children of God, pre-existed this world, and this is all according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, Ephesians 1:4. All this is God's hidden wisdom and is a mystery to the world, as Paul says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery. Even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, 1 Corinthians 2:7. Through this earthly journey, our Father keeps us in hope of eternal life, which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, Titus 1:2. We did not come into existence by being born on earth in a flesh body any more than did Jesus. Read what he prays in John 17:16. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We are not of the world, but we were with our Father Yahweh before the world was. As the racial bleeding offspring of our Father, we came into earth to put down all authority and powers, to reign and rule over it as the sons of light. Our ancestor Adam did not fall, but failed to understand the misdirecting forces that a flesh and blood body would cause. However, this race is not condemned to eternal failure because it carries within its body the spirit of its racial father. Through this conflict, the sons of God are perfected and grow into the mature sons that can wield all the power and enforce the authority of our Father in earth as righteously as Yahweh does in heaven. We are only perfected through conflict, pain, and suffering, just as Jesus was. Did this statement spin your mind out of control? Did you think that Jesus was perfect when he came to earth in a flesh and blood body? As Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant, so read what he wrote in Hebrews 2:10 about Jesus. For it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. The captain of our salvation was made perfect through sufferings. Paul writes even more about this in Hebrews 5:8-9. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him. Just in case you did not get it. Nothing can be made perfect that is already perfect. Which one comes first, perfection or suffering? In John 17:23, Jesus prays that we may be made perfect. And Paul says, let us go on unto perfection, Hebrews 6:1. Here is the guarantee. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly, 1 Corinthians 15:49. As we came into earth in flesh and blood bodies through Adam's line, we are under the sentence of death. Through toil, pain, conflict, and suffering, we mature, grow up, are perfected, and shall be transformed as Jesus was into the heavenly, celestial, spirit-powered sons of God, and as such, death will have no hold upon us. Then is brought to pass Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians 15:54. Death is swallowed up in victory. We left the heavens and came into earth to battle the forces of evil, darkness, chaos, corruption, ignorance, superstition, and the satanic Jew race that enslaves the world. We have been predestinated to be victorious. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. 1 Corinthians 15:22. We are made alive for one purpose, and that is to establish God's kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. Don't be ignorantly misguided by church cocks into their lie that you did not exist until some sperm fertilized an egg. And if you want to stay out of hell and go to heaven, then you have to accept Jesus. As Psalms 100 verse 3 says, know ye that the Lord Yahweh, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. He begot his children and placed them in the earth, not to get them saved so they can go to heaven and escape his fiery hell, but to grow up, to be perfected, and to establish his kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. This is to be our daily prayer, for Jesus told us, after this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Matthew 6:9-10. The army of Yahweh is made up of only soldiers that are the flesh and blood children of God, his Adamic white Israel race that are filled with the spirit of power. These warriors of light know who they are, who their father is, and that his purpose for them is to establish the kingdom in earth as it is in heaven. All negative forces, Satan, his offspring, corruption, superstition, chaos, and evil power has been gathered together from all creation and confined into the earth. You white sons of light have entered into this terrestrial plane to fight the great war for the deliverance of this world and to set it free from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Romans 8:21. Pay attention to the spirit that pulsates within your own breast, for it is pumping out the power of the Almighty into every facet of your soul consciousness. Vibrating power, so strong that it will shake up all things, is engulfing your entire being. No longer held prisoner to the flesh-driven senses, lying psychosis, perverted distortions, and fear-induced terror that comes from the lack of knowledge as to who you are. Now you will burst forth as the Son of God with all the brilliance of the Son. The whole creation in heaven and on earth will witness this glorious transformation from adolescence into adulthood of the Adamic white Israel race, bleeding offspring heavenly sons of light who are the prodigy of Yahweh in the earth. The whole heavenly host will shout for joy at this coming of age and manifestation of the power-filled man-sons of the Almighty. Listen, for the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared to the glory which shall be revealed in us. Romans 8:16-18. God's glory is only for those who have paid his price and walk in obedience to him. Those who dare to stand alone in the face of insurmountable odds and to deliver, thus saith Yahweh. Those who are spoken of in Revelation 12:11, and they overcame him, Satan, by the blood of the Lamb, Jesus, and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto death. To the overcomers, it will be as Jesus promised in Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. This victory is not uncertain, but preordained by our Father Yahweh God. We are not weak, but only through misdirection have been skillfully guided into thinking we are. Let me draw your attention again to Romans 13:12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness. Let us put on the armor of light. Prepare for battle. Then give battle by turning darkness into light. Expose the satanic Jew. Pull down their altars called Christian, and set free our white Adamic Israel brothers from their deadly devil grip. You now know the truth, and through it you have been set free. Wield the sword of truth through the power of the Spirit, striking the head of the serpent seed Jew, and cutting free our brethren held in their captive bondage of corruption. Live as if you have already won, for you have, and claim the victory, for all this is recorded in the book of the living, written before the foundation of the world. So what is the cost? Everything and nothing.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message, and that you were fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people. If you would like a CD of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our costs plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.